This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Maggie Perloff Show. Maggie is out, parts unknown, taking a little break, much deserved. EJ Stewart is in, which I'm really enjoying because EJ Stewart, executive producer of the Maggie Perloff Show, massive Knicks fan, and I just was texting him last night enjoying the Knicks loss. He's very sensitive. You admit that is your one sensitive area. There's two, the New York Knicks and the New York Jets.
I don't think I'm sensitive. I think I just curse with knowledge, as Dano said. So because I know this team in and out, and because I've seen the history of this team, I feel like I oftentimes have to talk to people who don't, so then it becomes frustrating.
I'm not sure what you mean. It's been 50 years since they won a title. What is there to know?
I mean, there's things to know, like, you know, the fact that they're still in a better position than a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference, that, you know, it's the thing is, and I always say this, I always say this to everybody, there's nothing really you can say about my team that I wouldn't already say. So this idea that I'm sensitive, I would push back on, because most people will say, oh, your coach can't get past the second round. Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have him. Your team keeps falling short. Yeah, I know. It's frustrating. Like, these are things I would say about my own team.
Shaq came out last night, and I think it was Shaq, said he's worried the Knicks aren't going to get out of the first round.
Well, he said they would. Not worried. He said they're going to lose in the first
round. And you said what?
It's stupid.
That sounds sensitive to me.
No, I think it is a dumb. I think it's a dumb take, because I think, again, my problem is, if you're going to make a take that has no downside, because you're talking about a team that you don't think is going to win a title. So if you're saying, all right, if they win a title, if they win the second first round, and I say, okay, we won in the first round, all you guys doubted us, it's going to be, well, you should have won in the first round, and, well, you should have did this and that. Like, it's not, like, the goalpost moving is what bothers me.
That's not really a take. It's more of a prediction. But, and I think there's a difference, similar situation, Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Let's get to the Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers have been winning, just like the Knicks, playoffs, but nothing else. So they are stuck. Now there are reports and rumors in NFL draft circles that Shedeur Sanders could be falling. I think earlier in the draft process, a lot of people had him going number 2 to Cleveland or number 3 to the New York Giants. Mm. Adam Schefter comes out last week and says it's becoming more and more unlikely that he will go 2 or 3. He has his pro day workout in Colorado. It goes very well. There's some more buzz. Okay, maybe the Giants will look at him. Las Vegas sets the over-under 8.5 for draft position for Shedeur Sanders. And now 8.5 is very specific because the New Orleans Saints sit at 9. They have Derek Carr for one more year, but need a quarterback in the future.
Right.
If he falls past the Giants at 3, past the Raiders at 6, past the Jets at 7, then I think there's a bit of a backstop with the Saints. The Saints, for whatever reason, because they have Derek Carr, they have a lot of needs. There are a lot of players they probably could pick at number 9. If they don't take Shedeur, he could fall. And now it's becoming at least an option that he falls to 21 and the Pittsburgh Steelers. A, EJ, do you think that's possible? And B, would you like that fit?
I don't love it. Here's why. I feel like if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you have an option to get Shedeur Sanders, whether it's trading up or he falls to you, why the hell are we doing this Aaron Rodgers thing? To me, the Steelers have shown that they're not in a position to win a championship, right? And taking Aaron Rodgers is basically a last resort for them. They feel like we're going to throw a Hail Mary at a guy who's 41 years old and hope that he can turn back the clock. Mm-hmm. And with our team and our system, he can turn us into a champion. The idea that they're going to beat the Bills and the Chiefs seems, right, like, seems like a fairy tale. But okay, that's their goal. Well, to me, I would prefer to draft Shedeur Sanders. Don't have to worry about an Aaron Rodgers situation, the mess of all that. I've seen Aaron Rodgers try to develop a young quarterback and Zach Wilson. That was a disaster, so he's not a great mentor.
Well, what about Jordan Love? I totally disagree with that.
Well, Jordan Love was good when Aaron Rodgers left the building, and Jordan Love struggled the first half of the season.
He wasn't on the field when Aaron Rodgers was in the building.
No, but my point, though, is that when the first half of the season in his first year in Green Bay, he was not good. The Gutekunst basically said, last six games, they were evaluating. They wanted to keep Jordan Love. So, no, that was the Packers coaching staff saying, hey, run our system, and I promise you will get the reward. And he started running the Packers system, and that's why they were good. It wasn't because Aaron Rodgers taught him anything.
But certainly Aaron Rodgers did not stunt the career of Jordan Love. You can't argue that.
I'm not saying he stunted it. You're wanting to give him credit, and I'm saying—
Yes, I do give him credit. I think he
why?
Was— Because he was there
like
for 2 years with him, and he helped him become a good, confident quarterback.
Then why was he so bad the first half of the first 10 games of his first year starting?
Because it was the first 10 games of his starting. I mean, he obviously had the fundamentals.
So,
in the base.
So you're going to give Aaron Rodgers more credit for Jordan Love's success in the last six games of a season than the coaching staff of the Packers? Doesn't make sense.
I mean, Rodgers was gone. What difference does it make whether first half or second half?
No, it goes back to the point with the Steelers. I don't think that there's a through line that Aaron Rodgers being around a young quarterback is going to automatically assume that he's going to be great.
But you said it was going to be bad, and it's going to implode the whole situation.
I don't think it's the best fit, because my thing is, to me, yeah, I would want to get Shedeur out there. I want to get him the reps. I want to get him. I don't think that Shedeur Sanders has to start. Excuse me, I have to come off the bench his first year. I don't look at him as that kind of quarterback.
But I think you could make— First of all, I somewhat disagree. I think Shedeur could definitely use a year on the bench, because he's coming out of a crazy situation in Colorado where he has no O-line and he's running around like crazy. I think a lot of quarterbacks could use that rest year. There's nothing wrong with that. Aaron Rodgers is just a bridge quarterback. If his name wasn't Aaron Rodgers and it was something else, you'd be fine with that. You'd be fine with a team with a 41-year-old quarterback then drafting a first-round pick and having the first-round pick sit for 1 year. Because that's what we got. We got 1 year with Aaron Rodgers.
But what happens?
That's not a bad situation. I think you're just a scarred by the Jets situation, and you think there's too much extra stuff with Aaron Rodgers. But if it was a normal bridge quarterback, wouldn't that make sense?
We can't just exclude what happened with the Jets. That is the recent history with Aaron Rodgers, so we have to evaluate it fairly. And what happened this season when Aaron Rodgers was struggling? We had the owner reportedly go to the coaching staff and say, hey, maybe we need to bench this guy, because he's not healthy, he's not playing well, it's not helpful to the team.
Okay.
Imagine that situation in Pittsburgh where maybe Rodgers comes in, he takes a bad hit in preseason or bad hit in the first few games of the season, and he's limping around and he's not looking good.
Right.
Do you really think a quarterback controversy is exactly what the Steelers need? Because we had a controversy potentially with Tyrod Taylor. That was when the Jets didn't even have an option to go back to another quarterback. If the Steelers are in a situation where it's Shedeur or Aaron Rodgers, you think Aaron Rodgers is handling that well, an idea that he may be benched for a rookie quarterback? Of course not.
Well, here's the thing. You have a superpower. You have head coach Mike Tomlin. And I think Tomlin, by the way, makes promises and keeps them. He told Russell Wilson, you're going to start, and then he put him in, even though Justin Fields was doing okay last year. I think Tomlin would stick with Rodgers, because I think if he brings in Rodgers, he's going to promise him you get the year. And as long as he can stand upright, I think there is not going to be controversy. I think it's going to be Rodgers, and then Shedeur would take a rest year.
Now, Coach Prime is going to be quiet if Aaron Rodgers is 4-6 and the Steelers are clinging to trying to make the playoffs and his son is sitting down? You think you don't get a Deion Sanders quote being like, hey, man, I know my son would win some of those games.
Come on, the most stable team in the NFL. It is,
and you're bringing in two of the most unstable elements.
You survived Antonio Brown.
They didn't survive it. They had to get him out of there. What are you talking about?
I know, but the franchise was not burned down by Antonio Brown being there.
They have not. They have gotten worse since Antonio Brown left. Yeah, they're not as good a team.
But they haven't had a losing record. I'm saying he's not burned down the house. They survived lots of crazy people in that building.
You keep saying survive, but what does that mean, right?
They kept winning.
But we're having a conversation with the Steelers about winning a Super Bowl or building something for the future.
Right.
That is something that did not happen after Antonio Brown left. They got worse, and they won enough games to maybe make the playoffs or have a winning record, but they did not get better. They did not come closer to winning a championship. So my point being is that if you add two unproven or kind of like crazy elements in Aaron Rodgers and potentially Deion Sanders into the mix, and if things don't go well, which for Aaron Rodgers, the last 3 years, 3 years, it did not go well. What do you think is going to happen in that environment? There's no, I don't think even Mike Tomlin can handle that situation.
But the original question was, should they draft Shador? And I say absolutely yes, because the reason they can't get over this hump is because they haven't been able to get a young quarterback. So they took a shot with Kenny Pickett. Made a lot of sense to me. He was incredibly productive at Pitt. Mm-hmm. I think he had first-round pick written all over it to me. I know he had small hands.
Yeah.
People are now saying that was a stupid pick because he was in the building. I got it at the time. I think they definitely need to take a shot here. If Shador falls, they have to take him because they haven't. Shador, to me, is a top 10 talent. I think he's got baggage. I think he's got Dion with him. And I think a lot of coaches and GMs don't want to bring in Dion. But I think that Pittsburgh is an anomaly because they have Mike Tomlin. And Mike Tomlin is so well established.
But he's been
there forever. So you get Shador. I would go ahead and do it. What do you have to lose? I mean, you've been 10-7 for the better part of 4 years. There's nothing to lose here.
I think you're giving Mike Tomlin way too much credit because you're saying that he's had these crazy elements, but they haven't won with these crazy elements.
Yeah, James Harrison won him a Super Bowl.
No, that's
crazy
as
all get
out. That's ancient history. You might as well, that might have been in black and white. I'm talking about recent history, right? He hasn't been able to handle George Pickens. He hasn't been able to handle Claypool. He hasn't been able to handle Antonio Brown. There's a lot of players that have ruined Steelers seasons with their antics, and Mike Tomlin, yes, they have won, but where the Steelers don't care about winning 10 games or 9 games. They don't care about that. They want to win playoff games. And this idea that Mike Tomlin has survived, it's like, well, they want to do more than survive. They want to thrive.
I understand. Well, how do you thrive in the NFL?
I think you got to rebuild.
And how do you do that?
You gotta get a quarterback, but that's why is Aaron Rodgers here? You're not rebuilding if Aaron Rodgers is there.
You're doing
point.
1 year of Aaron Rodgers. If say it was Joe Flacco or some other 4 year, would you be okay with or Russell Wilson? Would you have been okay if Russell Wilson was there?
Yes. And know why?
Because he's a bridge quarterback.
No, I'd be okay with that because I feel like if I have to bench Russell Wilson or Joe Flacco, right, I can do that with zero backlash. No fan's gonna sit there and say Russell Wilson should be playing or have the quarterback, whether it's Russ or the other guy, or Joe Flacco, make us think about it. Aaron Rodgers is going to go on Pat McAfee the next day and be like, what's going on here?
Fair point. But this is the time for the Pittsburgh Steelers to take a gigantic swing. Two of them. This is, why not? What's the downside?
The downside is Aaron Rodgers comes in and blows up your building.
And?
What you just talked about, the biggest strength of the Steelers.
You just said they need to rebuild.
You said the biggest strength of the Steelers is their stability. So if you're saying that what's the worst that can happen, I'm saying their stability could be broken, then that's a big issue.
It's not an issue because if it all blows up, then they get to rebuild. Honestly, I think a lot of people think it'd be good to rebuild. Bottom line, do you draft Shador Sanders?
I would take him, but I'd be very frustrated that they're still trying to sign Rodgers. I don't understand that. Okay. You don't need him.
I would sign Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on. Don't you want to see Aaron Rodgers in a Steelers uniform? What's the matter with you? Why are you taking this away from us? This would be so entertaining. Steelers are going to be in all these primetime games.
You know why I'm not crazy about it? Yeah. Because I'd say it's a lot. And we've talked about this with Tiger Woods. We talked about this with other people. Yeah. I know on the show I get painted as the Rodgers hater and whatever. I always say Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. He throws a football in a way that I've never seen except maybe Dan Marino, who I didn't get to watch.
That's generous.
I don't like seeing guys. It's true. It's why I've said it's why I wanted just to get him. I don't understand why people like seeing guys at the end who clearly are past their prime.
What?
Like, I like watching Aaron Rodgers when he was with the Packers. I liked watching those games. Yeah. Whether I was rooting for him or against him, he was talented. There was an intrigue. He was like, he may do something special. I've seen now him unfortunately get hurt, and I'm not trying to bring that up. Yeah. It's like a thing. It's just reality. He's 40 years old. You're more likely to get hurt as you get older. I saw him get hurt, then I saw him play a season. He looked terrible. So if I'm talking about watching Aaron Rodgers play, I don't want to see him in a Steeler uniform. I don't want this to be Johnny Unitas playing for the Chargers or Joe Namath playing for the Rams. Like those are not good experiences.
Yeah. Was Tom Brady good at the end with the Bucs?
Tom Brady is an anomaly.
Was Brett Favre good at the end with the Vikings?
Right. Anomaly. Two guys. These 38, 39-year-old quarterbacks.
Who is Aaron Rodgers similar to? Tom Brady and Brett Favre.
Why is he not similar to any other Hall of Fame quarterback that struggles in their last stops?
Give me reason why. Because the league has changed. You can't hit a quarterback so you can play to your 45. That's just the way it is now. And Rodgers could spin it last year. He made some beautiful throws. He was just limping for the first half of the season. And I know you don't buy these numbers, but he had 100 rating in 5 out of his last 7 games. I mean, his number, I'm exaggerating a little bit. His numbers were great at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, they were playing some terrible teams.
And he threw it to Devontae every time.
Playing against the Jaguars and the quitting Dolphins, you will put up some good numbers.
Yeah.
And to me with Rodgers, it goes beyond numbers, right?
Like, right.
It's the idea of you're bringing this guy in to win. It's not about, can he throw for 300 yards, 400 yards? I don't care about that.
The Steelers, I mean, this is not, it's a totally different situation than when the Jets signed Aaron Rodgers. The Jets thought they were getting the Super Bowl piece. The Steelers.
What do the Steelers think they're getting?
The Steelers have been, they don't even care. They've been just trying to get a veteran in the building. They basically.
Why didn't they sign all those other veterans then?
Because, well, they're waiting on Rodgers, but it's not an urgent situation.
They're waiting on him because they think that there's a way higher ceiling than those other bridges. So that suggests that they're not just looking for a bridge. They want a guy who they think can win playoff games, win a Super Bowl. I'm telling you that Aaron Rodgers is no longer exists.
So you think that the Aaron Rodgers to the Jets is going to have the same hoopla in Pittsburgh?
What do you mean hoop? Like hoopla? Like
when the Jets, he was the missing piece in New York. It was the number one story. It was a giant celebration.
I agree.
You think him going to Pittsburgh, everyone's going to be like, well, the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl.
The Steelers are the most storied, or one of the most storied organizations in the NFL. If he joins the Pittsburgh Steelers, you had a superstar, supernova star like Aaron Rodgers. That's a massive story. That is massive attention. They will get a million national TV games. In some ways, it might be bigger than the Jets.
Do you think everyone's Do you think everyone's going to say Super Bowl now? Like when the Jets got Aaron Rodgers, it was a sea change in the NFL. Everyone thought, "Oh, this is the new dynasty. This is basically a fancy Russell Wilson." Aaron Rodgers is a journeyman at this point. And also, we knew Rodgers wanted to go to the Vikings. He didn't even want to go to Pittsburgh. He's been desperately looking for somewhere else to go.
But the Steelers are better than the Jets. The Steelers last year made the playoffs. They won 10 games. The Jets had
Garrett Wilson and Sauce. They just,
And they just won 5 games this year. The year before that, they won 7.
The Steelers were not better where the Jets were coming off a season where there was all this promise.
They won 7 games. What are you talking about?
They were the Bucs before Tom Brady got there. They had all these young players. Come on. You don't think that there was excitement about the Jets?
No,
it's not
going to
be that way with the Steelers. It's not going to be that way with the Steelers.
I don't know how you could look at the Jets situation. They had young, promising talent, sure.
Yeah.
But the Pittsburgh Steelers have guys who will wear gold jackets currently playing on their team.
Is anyone going to pick this? Any expert on ESPN or NFL that we're going to pick the Steelers?
You know why they're not going to pick them? Because they know Aaron Rodgers is washed.
No, that is why. Nobody thinks that this team, they've watched this team play for the last 5 years. They understand that Arthur Smith is not an elite offensive coordinator. They understand that Mike Tomlin does not want his offense to be unleashed. They understand that even though they added DK Metcalf, this is still not a star-studded offense. They understand that TJ Watt, once he gets hurt, the entire team folds. Like, everyone knows what the Steelers
are. That's a lot of ifs. In terms of whether or not the Steelers can actually
win. Then nobody's picking. I'm telling you right now, you are not going to see the Steelers.
But I think you're suggesting that as if it's somehow only a judgment on the Steelers. We have a situation where they will be replacing quarterback. They will be replacing Russell Wilson.
If Aaron Rodgers went to Minnesota,
someone would be picking them to win a Super Bowl.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, exactly, because they are a loaded team. Nobody's picking the Steelers. They're not loaded like the Vikings. I think if Aaron Rodgers went to Minnesota, a lot of people would think they are a Super Bowl team.
Right, but it's not because of him. That's my point.
I'm saying the same thing. Like, there's not a lot of hype around him right now. He's not this prized possession. I think the Steelers are settling with Aaron Rodgers.
The Steelers clearly think that he is because
They're settling with this guy.
Then why are they waiting around for him?
Because there's no other option.
There were options.
Give me
parallel. They could have brought back Russell Wilson. They could have brought back Justin Fields. They could have brought back James. They could have brought James Winston in.
James Winston just signed a 2-year, $8 million deal.
They could have brought Joe Flacco in.
Joe Flacco's on his couch.
But
these are not options.
Carl, you cannot have it both ways. You cannot say the Steelers think nothing of Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not saying nothing.
But also that they had to have him over other journeymen. Either Rodgers is a journeyman who can't improve their win total, or he's a guy that improves their ceiling. It's either one or the other.
He's the best journeyman of that group. A terrible group that you just mentioned.
What about Geno Smith? What about Sam Darnold? What about those guys?
They're not going to trade their future. They're not signing an old guy for 4 years.
Those guys aren't old. Sam Darnold's not old. Sam Darnold's not old.
Yeah, they weren't going to pay up for Sam Darnold.
Wait, so you can't. You're okay with signing Aaron Rodgers
for 1 year, right? There's no long-term downside.
He's 41 years old, but you don't want to trade for a 35-year-old guy who played better?
No, I'm not committing. If I'm the Steelers, I'm not committing all that money to Geno.
Okay. I don't agree. I just feel like if you're in a situation, but I think, again, it stresses the point that clearly they think there's something special with Aaron Rodgers. And if they had other options, you're saying you don't agree with them. That's fine. You cannot say there were not other options. They were. You could have had Sam Darnold. You could have had Geno Smith. You could have had all those other journeyman quarterbacks. You still could go after Kirk Cousins. They're not doing that either. They're not doing that because they think Aaron Rodgers is a difference maker, and I'm telling you, he's not.
I think that they think he's the best journeyman available. I don't think they think he's a game changer.
What are the expectations of the Steelers draft them? I mean, excuse me, they sign them. What do you think they should? What should be their internal expectations?
Their win total goes from 8.5, which it is right now, to 9.5.
Should they win a playoff game?
No.
Then why are you doing this?
Because it gives you. It's a swing. I mean, you got to take some swings right now. Like, all those other guys are serviceable. They need to take a big uppercut. Because the other thing, too, Aaron Rodgers will be gone in a year. If it fails, then, hey, at least finally we get to rebuild a little bit. If you sign Sam Darnold for 3 years, then you're stuck with Sam Darnold, and you're still in limbo. Yeah, but you think of Aaron Rodgers running out with the Jets and the American flag. Do you think there's going to be any of that energy if he signs with the Steelers? I think you're nuts if you think it's going to be a recreation of that.
I would almost guarantee you that if Rodgers signs with the Steelers, they will have one of the first two or three national TV games. It could be the first one because they could play the Jets this season.
The Steelers are so popular with Mason Rudolph, they'll get four primetime games. So it's the Steelers, but it's not going to be. Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets was a huge, huge event, and everybody was so psyched to see him, and it was amazing. He's 41 now, coming off an Achilles.
You know the numbers Pat McAfee is going to do if Rodgers walks out there WWE style at a Pittsburgh show, and that crowd erupts. I hope he clipped this because I that day when that happens, if it does happen, I don't want to hear, well, we all knew this is not going to be a huge deal, because you're saying it's not going to be a huge
deal.
That's going to be a massive deal.
Again, how many people picked the Jets to go to the Super Bowl because of Aaron Rodgers?
But it was dumb. It didn't work. Like, you keep saying that, but my thing is,
but did so you and you knew at the time because you're talking like you did.
No, I thought the Jets were going to go to the Super Bowl.
Of course, it was not dumb. You had a multi-time MVP coming to a young, talented roster. There's nothing dumb about
that. I think
the
difference between you and I is I feel like stuff that happens on the field and what we see informs my opinion on the future and of what we saw then.
Yeah.
We thought Aaron Rodgers was something different. We didn't think he was going to get hurt. We didn't think he was as washed when he came back. So, yes, at that time, it informed people to think that they could win a Super Bowl. Now we know who he is.
Yes, so, he tore his Achilles tendon.
Which is why it doesn't make sense to bring him in, because it doesn't raise the total that much.
All right, we need to take a break. But, by the way, our friend Dr. Rock Positano always says, watch out for Rodgers in year two, because guys in their second year off an Achilles, he was not confident in that leg, so maybe he gets healthier. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the downside here? What are we going to be 10-7 again? I mean, stop. If you're a Steelers fan, call in. Talk some sense into EJ. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. All right. EJ and I clearly not seeing eye to eye on that topic.
Surprise.
I got to tell you, the next topic we see even less eye to eye on. We were fighting for about an hour on the phone last night about this singular future superstar. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show. Back on Maggie and Perloff. Maggie's out. EJ is sitting in for her today. We just had a heated debate about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Should they sign Aaron Rodgers? EJ says basically no, because it has a high risk of blowing up the franchise. I say why not? They've been in limbo forever. If it does blow them up, then that will force a rebuild. And I still hold out a glimmer of hope for the future Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, I just can't see it. And it may sound like it's because of sour grapes for the Jets, but you just have to be realistic and you have to go with what you saw. He could have been playing on any team, and the facts are the facts that he struggled. He struggled with health. He struggled with consistency. And if you're talking about bringing that guy and saying, we're going to go and try to compete with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, I just think it's a fantasy to think that you're going to be able to beat those guys in the playoffs, which is what their goal is. They don't want to go to the playoffs and just lose a game or win 9 games. That's not their goal.
But a lot of people think it's the Jets. You know, they've not had success with a lot of good quarterbacks. Geno turned out to be good. Sam Darnold turned out to be good. Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre didn't have success there. He got hurt just like Aaron Rodgers. But generally, I think a lot of people look at the franchise and say the Steelers are more stable. Mm. Let's go to Brandon in Alabama. Brandon, I understand you're a Steelers fan. Do you want Aaron Rodgers on your team?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You with EJ?
Yes, let me tell you why. He destroyed New York. He destroyed them. He got the coaches fired. He was a crybaby for Adams, and when he got them, they did absolutely nothing. I feel like Pittsburgh made a mistake by letting Justin Fields go. Russell Wilson, I agree, we probably didn't need to re-sign him, because after maybe the 10th game of the season, our offense kind of stalled out. Justin Fields gave us another running option with him being at quarterback, and he's 26 years old. You're trying to sign a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, that's pointless. It's pointless.
Brandon, if your team traded up from 21 to, say, 12 and drafted Shedeur Sanders, would you be happy?
Oh, absolutely. 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 And I'm not saying it just because he's primetime son. I'm saying it because he's a proven winner. He won in HBCU, and now he won in Colorado. Like, he's a winner. He's a winner. If you watch him, he goes through all his progressions. All his progressions before he takes off a run or doing anything with the ball.
I don't know, Brandon. I'm not sure I totally agree with that. He does go through his progressions, but he takes off and he starts scrambling around a lot. Will you give me that? He escapes out of the back of the pocket and tries to make. He never gives up on a play. I'll give you. He does not throw the ball out of bounds. He's, you know what I mean. He holds on the ball forever trying to find something downfield.
I agree with you, but what NFL quarterback doesn't do that now? Look at Lamar Jackson. Look at Patrick Holmes. Yeah. Look at Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look.
That's
look,
not a, necessarily look at those a bad thing. Yeah.
So I would love a quarterback that never gives up on a play. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger never gave up on a play in his younger years, and now, I mean, his older years, he stood in the pocket a lot and he took a lot of sacks. So why not?
No, I totally understand what you're saying. Thanks for the call, Brandon. I heard an interesting comp, actually, and I hope I'm not quoting you back to you.
Okay.
Brock Purdy last year with San Francisco. Shedeur played a lot like that in Colorado. Mm. Brock Purdy, because the line fell apart, was running around like crazy in the pocket. And there are a lot of similarities. I think that's a good player comp for Shedeur.
I like that.
Yeah, you get
similar
Kirk
size too. I feel like they're both like 6'2", right?
I think that in my sense, Shedeur's a little taller. Shedeur may weigh in at 6'1.5". I kind of, in my mind, Brock Purdy's a real 6 foot, but actually, I don't even know. And I think that they have similar skill sets, and that's a good thing for Shedeur. Yeah. The problem is he's got to go to the right team. To me, Shedeur is system dependent. He's got to have the right offensive coach. If I'm Deion and I'm trying to steer him, I would say Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland.
Yep.
I mean, Shedeur feels very good for that system. I don't mind Brian Daboll in New York. My problem in Pittsburgh, I don't get Arthur Smith. I don't totally understand. If I'm Deion and you're sending him there, that is not a pass-friendly offense. They want to hand the ball off. They're just too conservative, so we'll see how that works. But I think Shedeur could be great in the right system.
Yeah, I actually agree with that, and I agree. I think that's the one point we maybe agree on the most, is that Arthur Smith is the part that worries me about all of this. And what he will do, whether it's with Aaron Rodgers or with Shedeur Sanders. There was reporting that Aaron Rodgers was supportive of Arthur Smith becoming the Jets offensive coordinator, and they didn't go that way for various reasons. But, like, Rodgers apparently respects him, and Shedeur Sanders, I think, you know, he's a veteran coach, and I think that maybe Deion will be okay with that. But we've seen the proof in the pudding with him, right? Like, we know what kind of offenses he produces, and they're not that exciting.
Not at all. You know, there was a funny tweet. I talked about this last week. I still laugh at it. Of Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to DK Metcalf. They worked out in L.A. together. And it was this beautiful pass. You know, it doesn't mean anything. It's Instagram. It's slow-mo. But somebody had the comment, oh, Rodgers must have called an audible on that play because Arthur Smith clearly wanted a handoff to Jalen Warren. that's a problem. I hate offensive coordinators who call runs on first and second down all game long. I'm looking at you, Bobby Slowick, now fired in Houston. Generally, I just worry that you need to put Aaron Rodgers in a good position at this age to have easy pass plays. That means a lot of first down passing, and I don't know if Arthur Smith wants to do that. I can't imagine. And then you add Arthur Smith never feeds his receivers. You have DK Metcalf and George Pickens. So let's not forget that factor.
But this is why this is all combustible to me, which is why I look at this situation and I'm like, Metcalf, Pickens, then you want to add Shedeur Sanders and Deion, and then add Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're asking Mike Tomlin to be a miracle worker when it comes to putting a locker room together. Like, I know he's a very respected coach, but that's a lot of personality.
No, you're right. And he has not. He's been good the last 10 years, but hasn't been able to take him over the top.
Right.
I want to hear from you, Steelers fans. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Do you want Aaron Rodgers? Do you want Shedeur Sanders? Are you scared of a combo of both those guys? I mean, come on, content-wise, it'd be great. All right, Andrew Bogus is here with headlines.
Guys, the Lakers allowed 80 first-half points in OKC last night, but then held the Thunder to just 17 in the third, leading to a one-point game in the fourth when this happened.
Luka throws up an eight-footer. Good. And the Lakers lead 108-107.
Oh, Luka just got thrown out.
Why?
He was talking trash to a fan, and the referee thought he was talking to him.
Oh, this is an absolutely horrible decision by JT Orr, by the official. Absolutely horrible.
Tell us how you really feel, John Ireland on Lakers radio. Luka, LeBron, the rest of the Lakers on the floor immediately made the same point that Luka was talking to a fan, not ref JT Orr. But Luka shown the door for his second tee. J.J. Redick's team outscored 29-12 over the final 8 minutes of this game, all after Luka left.
It was a great game that unfortunately didn't get to sort of finish out the way that I think every basketball fan would want because of, you know, some decision-making on some individuals' parts.
Is it better to curse out a fan than curse out the official? I was actually wondering about that. It's like,
I mean, when it comes to a technical foul, yes, it should be. Like, I don't think you should be teed up for cursing out a fan.
I assume he was cursing. I hope so.
Yeah, or maybe he said in Slovenian. Maybe a referee knows Slovenian. One of my favorite things about all announcers is when they go after an umpire or ref by name. I was watching a clip from the Rocky game a couple days ago, and C.B. Bucknor was having one of the worst home plate games I've seen in a long time.
C.B. Buckner, of course.
Yeah, he's one of the worst in Major League Baseball.
It's awful.
And the announcer is like, well, that's C.B. Bucknor. Like, he's the guy that called that strike. I'm like, what are you trying to put this guy on a hit list? Like, what are you?
Yeah.
I know. Like, that's what they are doing. But it's just, you know, that always amuses me. But do you feel like this is like fool's gold for the Thunder that they won this game?
Yeah, I was worried about the Thunder. The Lakers were hanging around. I just envisioned them playing the playoffs. The Thunder are young. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if they can actually put the hammer on this team. They did last night, but when Luka went out, it was over.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried because, can I just say it? I'm not sure I want to see the Lakers get to the finals. I feel like LeBron camp will be a little obnoxious if that happens.
Oh, this is a personal thing.
Yeah, and I say that out of respect for the Lakers. I think they're a real threat here. Watching the Thunder last night, in a seven-game series, are they mature enough to really knock that team out?
We're going to have it's a great question. And I think in some ways, I think Luka getting tossed was the best thing that happened for the Thunder because I think they needed that mental thing. Like, I think they could say, okay, we beat the Lakers, like, we're good now, because they got throttled in the game before. And in this first quarter, they gave up almost like 50 points. Like, the Thunder, one of their biggest strengths has been they had the best defense in the NBA, and the Lakers have gone demolition derby on them in two games in a row. Now, maybe it's the Thunder just trying to get to the finish line of a regular season, but that's not a great sign. So I think that they could say they can point to a W, even if there's a little asterisk by it. I think that that will help them. But I agree. I've been saying since pretty much Luka trade happened that I think this changes the landscape for the Lakers. I was first skeptical, but I saw a couple of games and I said, this may be a team you got to worry about in the playoffs.
Well, and you watch the Thunder a lot. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. If you really clamp down on SGA in the playoffs, which is what's going to happen, the game slows down, who steps up and hits the big shot for the Thunder?
It's got to be Jalen Williams. And he had a great game last night. And that's going to be the question, is J-Dub, who's also a very young player. Yeah. I think he's 22, 23. Like, is he ready for that kind of moment? Yeah, he's an all-star. He's had a phenomenal season. He's one of the best draft picks, I feel like, in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, in terms of where they got him. But, yeah, do they have a true number two on a championship team is the question mark. I love J-Dub, but he is a young player, so that's going to be a big question.
You know, and the ball ends up in Kayson Wallace's hands a lot. He's 21.
Yeah, they got babies on that team. Now, I think what will happen, though, is maybe those guys, yes, they'll be asked to score, and I think Chet Holmgren will be the third option. But what they're going to need is they're going to need like a Lu Dort or a Caruso to be like the big shot maker, the Derek Fisher, the Robert Horry. Like, those guys are going to get opportunities where Shea's going to be double teamed. He's got to throw out to somebody. Like, those guys have to make shots. They have all season. And Caruso's a champion, so I think adding him was good. Can those other pieces, those old, more veteran guys, Isaiah Hartenstein, are those guys ready for that moment is the question.
Oh, Lu Dort's there, Jay Crowder, right? I mean,
the torture chamber.
Yeah.
Great nickname.
But again, I mean, if you look at the wins, this is, Maggie actually brought up this point. Is there pressure on the Thunder? Is it win a championship or bust? I think that it's hard to say that for a team this young. Although, and I texted EJ last night. I'm like, oh, the Thunder are not going to be able to do this, are they? And then Luka got kicked out. And we were all good.
Well, EJ said, I think yesterday, the Thunder have the pressure, in my mind, to win the West.
Right.
Not the whole thing, but if they don't win the West this year, that I think that's the beginning of disappointment. They can lose in the finals to the Celtics or the Cavs or somebody else.
Or the Knicks.
Sure. But if they don't get there, I think it's fair to say that this year was a disappointment.
Pretty consistent with the NBA. The MVP never wins, right? Mm-hmm. It's been since Steph Curry in, what year was it? Steph Curry was the last MVP to win a title. Yeah. Generally, guys like Giannis and Jokic win MVPs, but still need a year or two to get over that finals hump. And SGA is going to win. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will win the MVP.
Can I say something about that? Another EJ Randle commandment. I feel like that's like one of those, not to poo-poo your stat, but I feel that's one of those like useless stats, because I feel like those guys all won, except for Derrick Rose, like won championships. Like in the seasons that they won MVP, they didn't win championships, but they were MVP caliber players that didn't win titles. So,
wait, but my point was MVP level players need time to get to level. Even Jordan did.
Yeah.
The Thunder won this game, by the way, 136-120, maintaining their 2-game lead on the Cavs for the number one overall seed. Now 3 games to go. Cleveland wrapped up number one in the East last night, 135-113 over the Bulls. That means the Celtics are the 2 seed. They were 119-117 winners in OT at the Garden. Jason Tatum scored 32, including a 3 with 2.9 seconds left to force extra time.
Foul.
I think the Knicks are locked into 3.
No, not yet.
Still?
Not yet.
Okay.
Mathematically, no. They needed to win yesterday's game. Alas, they didn't. But, yep, still technically up for to fall down.
Do you guys, were you partly happy, though, because you still root for Porzingis and he was torching you guys? That's fun to see, right?
What? See the stuff that we deal with. America. You see what we do.
I would rather step on so many shards of glass, broken glass, than root for Kristaps Porzingis.
Wearing for the YouTube, I'm wearing a big bandage because I grabbed glass during that game last night.
I would too.
Over that type of Knicks game, you're in the playoffs already.
But it's our fault. We're Nets fans.
You don't know what winning is.
It's not your fault. Exactly. It's your clueless.
The Suns took a 133-95 home beating from the Warriors. It feels like the Nets have been in the finals more recently than the Knicks. Am I wrong on that?
I thought you moved on.
Wow, okay. By 2 years?
Okay. The Suns, by the way,
25 years ago.
Are you now when the Knicks were the 8 seed and made the finals in a strike-shortened year? Is that what you just referenced?
Oh, you guys referenced the Heat in making the finals as a play-in team. Give me a break.
Okay, we need Maggie to regulate this conversation.
Well, she's in Mongolia right now. Yeah. So.
Sorry. Go ahead, folks.
The Cincinnati Reds, a second straight shutout in San Francisco,
ooh,
this time winning 1-0. The Astros left standing after 12 in Seattle, 2-1. And the A's have their first win in Sacramento, 10-4 over the Padres. And very quickly, as far as we know, this has never happened before in NHL history.
10 seconds left to Garland on the point. Left point, Hughes, long wrist shot deflected wide of the goal. Rebound for Hronek in front. They score! It's Buse Suter in the slot with 5.2 seconds left, and they're not dead yet. Suter's got his second goal in the final minute of the third, and it's 5-5.
Okay, so Buse Suter scored twice in the final minute. The Canucks scored 3 times in those last 60 seconds to force OT, where they then beat the Stars 6-5. The Canucks say no team before had erased a 3-goal deficit in the final minute of regulation, but that's what they did last night to get this W.
I believe that's pronounced Canucks.
Thank you, Andrew Bogus. Okay, we got a couple things going on. I see you on the phone lines. Do you want Aaron Rodgers and Shedeur Sanders in the building if you're a Steelers fan together? Of course, we want that. And the YouTube chat, Infinity Sports Radio Network YouTube, they are going off on draft quarterback player comps in the NFL. Is there anything better than that? Give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Be back. There is a player comp that is going to make you tear your hair out, EJ. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Maggie's out. EJ is sitting in for her today. We just had a heated debate about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Should they sign Aaron Rodgers? EJ says basically no, because it has a high risk of blowing up the franchise. I say why not? They've been in limbo forever. If it does blow them up, then that will force a rebuild. And there's still, I still hold out a glimmer of hope for the future Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, I just can't see it. And it's, again, it may sound like it's because of sour grapes for the Jets, but you just have to be realistic and you have to go with what you saw. He could have been playing on any team, and the facts are the facts that he struggled. He struggled with health. He struggled with consistency. And if you're talking about bringing that guy and saying, we're going to go and try to compete with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, I just think it's a fantasy to think that you're going to be able to beat those guys in the playoffs, which is what their goal is. They don't want to go to the playoffs and just lose a game or win 9 games. That's not their goal.
But a lot of people think it's the Jets. You know, they've not had success with a lot of good quarterbacks. Geno turned out to be good. Sam Darnold turned out to be good. Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre didn't have success there. He got hurt just like Aaron Rodgers. But generally, I think a lot of people look at the franchise and say the Steelers are more stable. Mm. Let's go to Brandon in Alabama. Brandon, I understand you're a Steelers fan. Do you want Aaron Rodgers on your team?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You with EJ?
Yes, let me tell you why. He destroyed New York. He destroyed them. He got the coaches fired. He was a crybaby for Adams, and when he got them, they did absolutely nothing. I feel like Pittsburgh made a mistake by letting Justin Fields go. Russell Wilson, I agree, we probably didn't need to re-sign him, because after maybe the 10th game of the season, our offense kind of stalled out. Justin Fields gave us another running option with him being at quarterback, and he's 26 years old. You're trying to sign a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, that's pointless. It's pointless.
Brandon, if your team traded up from 21 to, say, 12 and drafted Shedeur Sanders, would you be happy?
Oh, absolutely. 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 And I'm not saying that just because he's primetime son. I'm saying it because he's a proven winner. He won.
in HBCU, and now he won in Colorado. Like, he's a winner. He's a winner. If you watch him, he goes through all his progressions. All his progressions before he takes off a run or do anything with the ball.
I don't know, Brandon. I'm not sure I totally agree with that. He does go through his progressions, but he takes off and he starts scrambling around a lot. Will you give me that? He escapes out of the back of the pocket and tries to make. He never gives up on a play. I'll give you, he does not throw the ball out of bounds. He's, you know what I mean? He holds on the ball forever trying to find something downfield.
I agree with you, but what NFL quarterback doesn't do that now? Look at Lamar Jackson. Look at Patrick Holmes. Yeah. Look at Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look.
That's
look,
not a, necessarily look at those a bad quarterback. Thing. Yeah.
So I would love a quarterback that never gives up on a play. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger never gave up on a play in his younger years, and now, I mean, his older years, he stood in the pocket a lot and he took a lot of sacks. So why not?
No, I totally understand what you're saying. Thanks for the call, Brandon. I heard an interesting comp, actually, and I hope I'm not quoting you back to you.
Okay.
Brock Purdy last year with San Francisco. Shador played a lot like that in Colorado. Mm. Brock Purdy, because the line fell apart, was running around like crazy in the pocket. And there are a lot of similarities. I think that's a good player comp for Shador.
I like that. I think
you get
similar size too. I feel like they're both like 6'2", right?
I think that in my sense, Shador's a little taller. Shador may weigh in at 6'1.5". I kind of, in my mind, Brock Purdy's a real 6 foot, but actually, I don't even know. And I think that they have similar skill sets, and that's a good thing for Shador. Yeah. The problem is he's got to go to the right team. To me, Shador is system dependent. He's got to have the right offensive coach. If I'm Deion and I'm trying to steer him, I would say Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland.
Yep.
I mean, Shador feels very good for that system. I don't mind Brian Daboll in New York. My problem with Pittsburgh, I don't get Arthur Smith. I don't totally understand. If I'm Deion and you're sending him there, that is not a pass-friendly offense. They want to hand the ball off. They're just too conservative, so we'll see how that works. But I think Shador could be great in the right system.
Yeah, I actually agree with that, and I agree. I think that's the one point we maybe agree on the most, is that Arthur Smith is the part that worries me about all of this. And what he will do, whether it's with Aaron Rodgers or with Shador Sanders. There was reporting that Aaron Rodgers was supportive of Arthur Smith becoming the Jets offensive coordinator, and they didn't go that way for various reasons. But, like, apparently Rodgers maybe respects him, and Sanders, I think, you know, he's a veteran coach, and I think that maybe Deion will be okay with that. But we've seen the proof in the pudding with him, right? Like, we know what kind of offenses he produces, and they're not that exciting.
Not at all. You know, there was a funny tweet. I talked about this last week. I still laugh at it. Of Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to DK Metcalf. They worked out in L.A. together. And it's this beautiful pass. You know, it doesn't mean anything. It's Instagram. It's slow-mo. But somebody had the comment, oh, Rodgers must have called an audible on that play because Arthur Smith clearly wanted a handoff to Jalen Warren. that's the problem. I hate offensive coordinators who call runs on first and second down all game long. I'm looking at you, Bobby Slowick, now fired in Houston. Generally, I just worry that you need to put Aaron Rodgers in a good position at this age to have easy pass plays. That means a lot of first down passing, and I don't know if Arthur Smith wants to do that. I can't imagine. And then you add Arthur Smith never feeds his receivers. You have DK Metcalf and George Pickens. So let's not forget that factor.
But this is why this is all combustible to me, which is why I look at this situation and I'm like, Metcalf, Pickens, then you want to add Shador Sanders and Deion, and then add Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're asking Mike Tomlin to be a miracle worker when it comes to putting a locker room together. Like, I know he's a very respected coach, but that's a lot of personality.
No, you're right. And he has not. He's been good the last 10 years, but hasn't been able to take him over the top.
Right.
I want to hear from you, Steelers fans. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Do you want Aaron Rodgers? Do you want Shador Sanders? Are you scared of a combo of both those guys? I mean, come on, content-wise, it'd be great. All right, Andrew Bogus is here with headlines.
Guys, the Lakers allowed 80 first-half points in OKC last night, but then held the Thunder to just 17 in the third, leading to a one-point game in the fourth when this happens.
Luka throws up an eight-footer. Good. And the Lakers lead 108-107.
Oh, Luka just got thrown out.
Why?
He was talking trash to a fan, and the referee thought he was talking to him.
Oh, this is an absolutely horrible decision by JT Orr, by the official. Absolutely horrible.
Tell us how you really feel, John Ireland on Lakers radio. Luka, LeBron, the rest of the Lakers on the floor immediately made the same point that Luka was talking to a fan, not ref JT Orr. But Luka's shown the door for his second tee. J.J. Redick's team outscored 29-12 over the final 8 minutes of this game, all after Luka left.
It was a great game that, unfortunately, didn't get to sort of finish out the way that I think every basketball fan would want because of, you know, some decision-making on some individuals' parts.
Is it better to curse out a fan than curse out the official? I was actually wondering about that.
When it comes to a technical foul, yes, it should be. Like, I don't think you should be teed up for cursing out a fan.
I assume he was cursing. I hope so.
Yeah, or maybe he said it in Slovenian. Maybe a referee knows Slovenian. One of my favorite things about all announcers is when they go after an umpire or ref by name. I was watching a clip from the Rocky game a couple days ago, and C.B. Buckner was having one of the worst home plate games I've seen in a long time.
C.B. Buckner, of course.
Yeah, he's one of the worst in Major League Baseball.
It's awful.
And the announcer is like, well, that's C.B. Buckner. Like, he's the guy that called that strike. I'm like, what are you trying to put this guy on a hit list? Like, what are you?
Yeah.
I know. That's what they are doing. But it's just, that always amuses me. But do you feel like this is like fool's gold for the Thunder that they won this game?
Yeah, I was worried about the Thunder. The Lakers were hanging around. I just envisioned them playing the playoffs. The Thunder are young. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if they can actually put the hammer on this team. They did last night, but when Luka went out, it was over.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried because, can I just say it? I'm not sure I want to see the Lakers get to the finals. I feel like LeBron camp will be a little obnoxious if that happens.
Oh, this is a personal thing.
Yeah, and I say that out of respect for the Lakers. I think they're a real threat here. Watching the Thunder last night, in a 7-game series, are they mature enough to really knock that team out?
We're going to have it's a great question. And I think in some ways, I think Luka getting tossed was the best thing that happened for the Thunder because I think they needed that mental thing. Like, I think they could say, okay, we beat the Lakers, like, we're good now, because they got throttled in the game before. And this first quarter, they gave up almost like 50 points. Like, the Thunder, one of their biggest strengths has been they had the best defense in the NBA, and the Lakers have gone demolition derby on them in 2 games in a row. Now, maybe it's the Thunder just trying to get to the finish line of a regular season, but that's not a great sign. So I think that they could say they can point to a W, even if there's a little asterisk by it. I think that will help them. But I agree. I've been saying since pretty much Luka trade happened that I think this changes the landscape for the Lakers. I was first skeptical, but I saw a couple of games and I said, this may be a team we got to worry about in the playoffs.
Well, and you watch the Thunder a lot. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. If you really clamp down on SGA in the playoffs, which is what's going to happen, the game slows down, who steps up and hits the big shot for the Thunder?
It's got to be Jalen Williams. And he had a great game last night. And that's going to be the question. Is J-Dub, who's also a very young player, I think he's 22, 23, like, is he ready for that kind of moment? He's an all-star. He's had a phenomenal season. He's one of the best draft picks, I feel like, in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, in terms of where they got him. But, do they have a true number two on a championship team is the question mark. I love J-Dub, but he is a young player, so that's going to be a big question.
You know, and the ball ends up in Kayson Wallace's hands a lot. He's 21.
Yeah, they got babies on that team. Now, I think what will happen, though, is maybe those guys, yes, they'll be asked to score, and I think Chet Holmgren will be the third option. But what they're going to need is they're going to need like a Lou Dort or a Caruso to be like the big shot maker, the Derek Fisher, the Robert Horry. Like, those guys are going to get opportunities where Shea's going to be double teamed. He's got to throw out to somebody. Like, those guys have to make shots. They have all season. And Caruso's a champion, so I think adding him was good. Can those other pieces, those more veteran guys, Isaiah Hartenstein, are those guys ready for that moment? It's a question.
Oh, Lou Dort's their Jay Crowder, right? I mean,
the Dortcher Chamber.
Yeah.
Great nickname.
But again, I mean, if you look at the wins, this is, Maggie actually brought up this point. Is there pressure on the Thunder? Is it win a championship or bust? I think that it's hard to say that for a team this young. Although, and I texted EJ last night. I'm like, oh, the Thunder are not going to be able to do this, are they? And then Luka got kicked out. And we were all good.
Well, EJ said, I think yesterday, the Thunder have the pressure in my mind to win the West.
Right.
Not the whole thing, but if they don't win the West this year, that I think that's the beginning of a disappointment. They can lose in the finals to the Celtics or the Cavs or somebody else.
Or the Knicks.
Sure. But if they don't get there, I think it's fair to say that this year was a disappointment.
Pretty consistent with the NBA. The MVP never wins, right? Mm-hmm. It's been since Steph Curry in what year was it? Steph Curry was the last MVP to win a title. Yeah. Generally, guys like Giannis and Jokic win MVPs, but still need a year or two to get over that finals hump. And SGA is going to win. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander will win the MVP.
Can I say something about that? Another EJ random commandment. I feel like that's like one of those, not to poo-poo your stat, but I feel that's one of those like useless stats because I feel like those guys all one, except for Derrick Rose, like won championships. Like in the seasons that they won MVP, they didn't win championships, but they were MVP caliber players that didn't win titles. So,
wait, but my point was MVP sure. level players need time to get to no that question. Level. Even Jordan did.
Yeah.
The Thunder won this game, by the way, 136-120, maintaining their two-game lead on the Cavs for the number one overall seed. Now 3 games to go. Cleveland wrapped up number one in the East last night, 135-113 over the Bulls. That means the Celtics are the 2 seed. They were 119-117 winners in OT at the Garden. Jason Tatum scored 32, including a 3 with 2.9 seconds left to force extra time.
Foul.
I think the Knicks are locked into 3.
No, not yet.
Still?
Not yet.
Okay.
Mathematically, no. They needed to win yesterday's game. Alas, they didn't. But, yep, still technically up for to fall down.
Do you guys, were you partly happy, though, because you still root for Porzingis and he was torching you guys? That's fun to see, right?
What? See the stuff that we deal with. America. You see what we do.
I would rather step on so many shards of glass, broken glass, than root for Kristaps Porzingis.
Wearing for the YouTube, I'm wearing a big bandage because I grabbed glass during that game last night.
I would too.
Over that type of Knicks game, yeah. You're in the playoffs already.
But it's our fault. We're Net fans.
We don't know what winning
is. It's not your
fault.
Exactly. It's your clueless.
The Suns took a 133-95 home beating from the Warriors. It feels like the Nets have been in the finals more recently than the Knicks. Am I wrong on that?
I thought you moved on.
Wow, okay. By 2 years?
Okay. The Suns, by the way,
25 years ago.
Now the Knicks were the 8 seed and made the finals in a strike-shortened year? Is that what you just referenced?
Oh, you guys referenced the Heat in making the finals as a playing team. Give me a break.
Okay, we need Maggie to regulate this conversation.
Well, she's in Mongolia right now. Yeah. So.
Sorry. Go ahead, folks.
The Cincinnati Reds, a second straight shutout in San Francisco,
ooh,
this time winning 1-0. The Astros left standing after 12 in Seattle, 2-1. And the A's have their first win in Sacramento, 10-4 over the Padres. And very quickly, as far as we know, this has never happened before in NHL history.
10 seconds left to Garland to the point. Left point, Hughes, long wrist shot deflected wide of the goal. Rebound for Hronek in front. They score! It's Pius Suter in the slot with 5.2 seconds left, and they're not dead yet. Suter's got his second goal in the final minute of the third, and it's 5-5.
Okay, so Pius Suter scored twice in the final minute. The Canucks scored 3 times in those last 60 seconds to force OT, where they then beat the Stars 6-5. The Canucks say no team before had erased a 3-goal deficit in the final minute of regulation, but that's what they did last night to get this W.
I believe that's pronounced Canucks.
Thank you, Andrew Bogish. Okay, we got a couple things going on. I see you on the phone lines. Do you want Aaron Rodgers and Shedeur Sanders in the building if you're a Steelers fan together? Of course, we want that. And the YouTube chat, Infinity Sports Radio Network YouTube, they are going off on draft quarterback player comps in the NFL. Is there anything better than that? Give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Be back. There is a player comp that is going to make you tear your hair out, EJ. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.